Well, as you can see, the scripture today is from the second chapter of Acts, verses 1 through 21. This is our story. Let us hear it. Let us be a part of it. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every country under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered. The crowd gathered and was bewildered. They asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in the language of each?" Amazed and astonished, they were amazed and astonished and asked, "How is it that we hear them in our own languages? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be made known to you. Listen to my voice. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose. No, but this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And even upon my servants, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I shall show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and misty smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Wind and fire. Two wonderful symbols for the Holy Spirit. The gift that was given the church on the day of Pentecost. Wind. Pneuma. Or ruach. You know, when I was growing up, we actually said the Holy Ghost. Not just the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Ghost. But I've learned recently that the word ghost is from the Anglo-Saxon word gast, which merely means gust. Holy gust. The wind that made such a noise and filled the house where they were all sitting the Holy Spirit was a holy gust. Wind. Just the right symbol for the Holy Spirit, because wind is mysterious. Have you ever seen the wind? Do you know where it comes from? Do you know where it's going? No, we don't know what it looks like. All we see are the effects. You remember when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus? You must be born again. He didn't understand that. And he says, well, certainly you don't understand that. That is a spiritual discernment. It's like the wind. You don't understand where it comes from or where it's going, but you see its effects. In the beginning of creation, in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And then it says, and a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. The wind, perfect symbol for the Holy Spirit, mysterious, creative, creative. And just as in the beginning, there was the created heavens and earth, on this day, there's the creating of a new community, never before seen, and is still becoming more and more that kind of community in the world today. The creative power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit filled the place where they were sitting, but even more importantly, filled the hearts of those people who had been seated there praying for 10 days to receive the promise that Jesus had made to them. And what happened when they received it? Well, listen, the bottom line is this. You've heard many times the saying, look what the wind blew in. This is, look what the wind blew out. It wasn't too much longer before these people were swept out of the house, and it was the church launched in mission to the world. They had no idea the places they would go, nor those who followed them. But Jesus said that they would be witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the other most parts of the earth. You see, the Holy Spirit is also a sender. And that's why I'm so proud of these mission teams. Because they've allowed the Holy Spirit to fill them, to indwell them, to empower them, and to send them. Take Conley, for example. He's never been to Bolivia before. Have you, Conley? And he struggled with that decision. Should he go or not go? And he discerned, yeah, he's going to go. He's going to go because of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that he responded to. One of the joys I've had at this church is I've been here a long time. And I've seen the Holy Spirit work in some of your hearts, and it has stirred you up and you've responded. The next thing I knew, we had another mission somewhere in the world. When I first came, the mission that was the biggest was ASP. It's still big, going to the Appalachian Mountains to serve the disadvantaged, to make homes warmer, safer, and drier. That was the big mission team. Now there are countless mission teams. I'm afraid to name them because I'll leave some out. And let's never forget that mission starts right here in Cary. The Holy Spirit is still sending us places. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful. Kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. The Holy Spirit. Perfect symbol for the wind. Perfect symbol for the Holy Spirit. And then fire. Fire is fascinating. Fire is fascinating. Now in the Bible, we remember the story of Moses when he saw a bush that was burning, but yet it was forever burning. It was never going out. It was a burning bush that captured his attention, and it was the holy presence of God, or the Holy Spirit in the here and now speaking to us. And Moses responded, and he was on a mission. Now, the early worship services said that there was to be fire on the altar. And ever since then, there's been fire on the altar, because that symbolizes to us the presence of God who is with us always. And of course, you know, when they went through the wilderness following the Exodus, It was the pillar of fire by night that led the people. Fire, the symbol of the Holy Spirit, but the very presentness of God, and more importantly, the holiness of God. Now, these divided tongues as of fire, what was the effect? Part of the effect of fire is to burn out impurities. You see, before God can do a work through us, He's got to do a work in us. And sometimes His Holy Spirit needs to clean us up and help purify our hearts, make perfect our love for Him and for our neighbor, to burn out prejudices. I can't say that word. To burn out prejudice and things that should not be in my heart. And I believe that's what was happening in the upper room. The Holy Spirit was present as a fire, and it was burning out impurities. So ultimately God could use these people. And then what happened when they received the Holy Spirit? They began to speak in other languages. Very simply put, here's what happened. One of the hardest things for us to do is to communicate. And this was the miracle of communication. Because when they began to speak of God's mighty acts of salvation and power, the devoted Jews from every nation came and they understood in their own languages what they were talking about. It was a miracle. It was the reverse of the Tower of Babel. The Holy Spirit, the fire, was the capacity to proclaim good news in a way that is understood and clear. It is the symbol of the Methodist Church on the book, on the hymnal. The front of the hymnal is a cross. And then it looks like a flame. But if you look closer, it is a divided tongue of fire. Prophetic speech. To speak truth to power. To speak God's truth, God's love. Now, how many times have you heard someone say, "I feel that the fire has gone out"? You know what they're talking about. That drive, that compulsion. God is present to us to fire us up. That's why we need not to forsake the assembly of the gathered people for worship. That's why we need community. You take a piece of coal and remove it from the fire and it will die out. We need to be present in the community with one another, close to the fire, close to the worship. And so the Holy Spirit, the symbol of the Holy Spirit as fire, is so very, very important. Now, let's take wind and let's take fire. Both mysterious. But we see the effects. A new community is born, speaking of the powerful works of God, proclaiming the good news to people all over the world. A mission was launched. Here is the most desperate need today in the life of the church. Have we become an institution only? Or are we still a movement of the Holy Spirit? You see, because if we're a movement of the Holy Spirit, we'll be going places we don't know we're going to go. We'll see things differently. We'll see things through God's eyes. We'll be learning new things we've never known before. God has ever yet more truth to reveal to us. It will be difficult because we'll be swept out of our comfort zones. But I don't know about you, but I'd rather be a part of a movement, because you never know what God's going to do next. And our job is to see where the wind's blowing, see where God's at work, and to join Him where He's at work. So are we an institution? Settle down, we just conduct our business, we got things nailed down, or are we still a movement? On this Pentecost Sunday, I want to tell you, our church is still a movement. The vision of our church is sharing the heart of Christ from the heart of Carrie. And the mission of our church is to make disciples of all persons, make disciples of persons who grow in love and faith through worship, fellowship, service, and witness to one another in the world. The invitation today is just simply this. Do you need revival in your own life? Do you need the wind? Do you need the fire? Polly and I will be glad to pray with you if you need that in your life. If you'd like to dedicate yourself anew to being a part of God's movement, the church, today, we'll pray that you might receive the Holy Spirit in a way to lead you to do that. Let us stand.